Tom, was there a lot of pressure to work overtime?
Yes, there was quite a bit of pressure to work overtime. They wanted, if it was in a hurry for to get a job done, you know, or something, so they could get a ship out of it. You know, well, then there'd be pressure to do it, but I didn't mind maybe one day overtime, but you take 2 days overtime, that gives you 7 days a week, and that's just too hard. I did that one time for about a month, and then I didn't want it anymore, because it takes too much out of you, you know. My husband used to work overtime an awful lot at the shipyards, but he didn't mind it as much as I did. But I felt I needed to be home because I had home. You know, you have a home and you got a child there to look after, things to be done, and nothing gets done when you're not, the homemaker isn't there, you know.
Did you get raises while you were there?
Automatically you'd get a raise, and once in a while, depending on your foreman, different ones would be picked out, and they might get a raise that others didn't get, depending, you know, probably merit raise or something like that, you know. I had several merit raises. Then automatically everybody got a raise. I don't know just how often it was, 6 months probably.
Were there ever any problems around people getting raises that other people didn't get? Maybe they didn't feel like...
Well, see, it's like I said, now I had a couple of merit raises that nobody else got. And that's because, you know, the stars or whatever it was I won on these things, something, I forget what they were now anymore. Most people, in a case like that, they didn't resent it. But there were a number of times I know different departments would get a raise and the other departments didn't. Then they'd be a little hullabaloo about that. And they also was pressured to make you join a union. I'd had no need to join a union at all, and that was another thing you were looked down on because you didn't belong to a union. Well, I think it's free country. If you don't want to belong to a union, you shouldn't have to belong to a union. Nowadays, you're almost a scab if you don't belong to a union. You don't get anywhere. And I don't think you should be forced to join a union if you don't want to.
What kind of pressure was there?
Well, they'd come around and talk and talk and talk to try to get you, you know, and tell you getting all this money and all, if it wasn't for the union, you wouldn't be getting it. Well, so if it wasn't for this country, they wouldn't have had a union to belong to. But I never did. My husband never belonged to a union until the shipyard went out down here in the 50s, late 50s, the shipyard went out anyhow, and he was without work. And they were building this Jordan auditorium right over here. And he could hear all this pound and the noise, so he walked around there one day. And he was standing around there looking, and some guy come along and says, "Well, hey, Bill, what are you doing around here?" Well, here it was a foreman that he used to have down shipyard. But he'd left the shipyard sometime before, and not a carpenter, what do you call him? Well, anyhow,
construction.
He was in construction anyhow, and he had this job over there, and Dad said, "Well, he was without a job, shipyards went out," and he said, "Well, you want work?" Dad said, "Yeah, you'd like to have a job." He said, "You belong to the union?" Dad said, "No, he didn't belong to the union." Well, he said, "Here, you go right down there on Artesian, you go down there and join the union, and come back, I'll give you a job." Well, he hopped down and joined the union. First time he ever joined, ever belonged to a union. But he wanted to work, you know, so he went to work over there, and he worked until the shipyard went back. That guy took him with him someplace else where he went, I don't remember now. But when the shipyard came back again, well then he went back down shipping.
You remember other kinds of things that the union did, or the union people did? They came around and talked to you about
it. Oh, they had big meetings all the time, you know, and expected people to come to these big meetings and all, but I never went because I wasn't that I didn't believe in unions. To this day, it isn't that I don't believe in unions. I do not believe in what the head ones do. They're crooked. Now, we had one fellow that worked out shipyards with Dad. He lived there. I lived around here. And he got quite high up in the union. Well, and if you didn't belong to the union, boy, you just dirt under his feet. Well, I don't believe in that. But, and also, see, like, there's been an awful lot of scandal with the upper ones in there. They live awful high off of the poor people. That was what I had against unions. Of course, I don't know how you'd stop it, but...
The Douglas
newspaper? We used to get a little Douglas newspaper, but I never saved any of them. Now to look back, you often wonder why you did, I saved everything else. I don't know why I did. But I had to move out, I guess, if I just kept saving everything.
What kinds of things would be?
Oh, they'd just be little items of interest, and then they'd be items of what different departments were doing, and how many ships for being, you know, just that kind of news. And if somebody'd do something extra nice or something, or they'd get a write-up, you know.
Did you ever change jobs before you became the inspector, or besides?
No, I was a riveter all the way through until I changed to inspection.
You were a riveter for about a year?
Well, at least a year. Mm-hmm.
How long, you said that at the beginning that you felt that you could do the job as well as anybody else. I'm wondering if as time went by and you worked there, how you felt about the new skills that you were learning. I mean, did you feel like you were learning new things?
Oh, yes. I felt that I accomplished quite a feat to be able to do what I called a perfect job, you know, with no... I never was called on the floor for anything that work I'd done, never. Or others were. I've seen others, you know, even taking off the job and doing something else. But I just learned the skill of doing what I was doing to where it was, I figured I was just almost like perfection in the line that I was doing. This other girl and I worked together and we always bragged on ourselves. Nobody else would. But you do, you learn to, if you do a thing long enough, you know, you learn to, you have to be pleased with yourself, you know, to know you've done a good job.
Did you bring any of those skills home and do things around
the house? Oh, sure. I got here using my drill the other day. I drill a hole in something, I can't pound a nail, you know. Get a drill and drill a hole up so I can get the nail in. Yeah, oh yeah. That's my little saw. If a river, something wasn't just right and you had to saw a piece of metal or something, you know, you had a little metal saw. And I used that, I couldn't tell you the times I used that. Still do. Because the line of work that I was doing wasn't anything much you do around and home, you know, because you don't have anything to rivet. Now, like the other day, my table legs kept coming off. I could have drilled that hole myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured I had a son, so I told him I wanted it done, so he did it. But I could have done it. It's the line of work that I was doing. I didn't want a rivet in there, but I wanted the bolt to go through there, the stick come through that in there, the window. Mm-hmm. I know all these things I thought I want done, but I, at my age now anymore, I don't do it.
Did you used to do them though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always repaired my own iron wires, you know. Wire got frayed and something. This is called Tiny Tim Hacksaw.
That's good.
And I got a number of blades for it, yeah. But this was metal work that I was doing, so there wasn't too much that you bring home to do, you know. Just things that you do have an idea of things that you'd like, you know. But.
Was the pace of your work fairly consistent, or were there times...
Was what?
The pace of your work, was it fairly consistent, or were there times when there was a lot of speed-up or a lot of slack time?
There was no slack time while I worked there. There was always need for to keep ahead of it, you know, because they were selling these planes. You had to get so many planes out, so the work was very, very regular.
Did they watch you very closely?
No. The foreman, of course, as I tell you, he had a lead man. We didn't always, that young kid I tell you we started out with, we didn't have him. They moved him someplace else after a few months. I complained to my foreman, and I even asked him after I knew him a little bit to come around sometime and nobody knew he was going to come around. And he caught him 2 or 3 times doing what I, you know, and they moved him someplace, but they couldn't fire him, you know. But they moved him, but a foreman, if he has a crew that works pretty good, he's busy something else. And he knows which crew to watch and which not. They very seldom ever bothered around our section of the wing. If we were two pretty good workers, because we were the only two on this part of the wing section, and then on platform down by another couple a group working, you know what they were doing. You don't always know what everybody's doing. If you did know what everybody's doing, you wouldn't have much time doing anything yourself.
How large was your department?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have any idea how big a wing section would take in a department like that. We had quite a large department, though. But, the wings are done in sections until they get ready to put the whole thing together, and then you've got to have enough room to put the whole thing together. You know, a wing, you know what a wing is, pretty long. So you have to have quite a little bit of space. And sometimes, maybe some of it that would occupy the whole building. We got some pretty big buildings out there.
Did you have quotas? How much you were expected to do a day?
No. Not that I know anybody that ever had a quota to meet.
You said that sometimes when the nice-looking women inspectors would come around and men would whistle, and I'm wondering how much of that kind of thing went on. How much?
Every. I don't know about that, because I suppose you'd see them together out in the outside the building or at lunch hour, you know that, but. Yeah, I suppose there's a fellow going on with you. I know this, my husband's cousin's granddaughter, she had first one fellow out there and then another, and then she married this one. But there was a lot of unmarried ones out there too, you know. And of course, the married ones flirted with the girls like they always do in every place there is like that. but I hadn't had time to see what was going on. I wasn't interested.
But there was a lot of whistling and...
Oh, yeah. Not a lot of it.
Do you think there was much promotion or job favoritism based on those kinds of things?
I'm sure there was. I know of a couple of different ones that we never could figure why she got the promotion, but then except a little glamour there or something, you know. If she'd get the promotion, it wasn't that she was doing anything much more, but she'd get bigger paycheck. Yeah, that went on all the time. Especially among the younger ones.
So that's where you worked, the women that you worked with, what age were they? Were they close to your age, or were they
younger
women?
Yeah, they was most all housewives. I don't know of anyone that I worked with that wasn't married. The only ones that weren't were these young girls that were inspectors and things that didn't walk around and look pretty. They'd walk around with a clipboard and jot down this or jot down something, you know, and walking around. What they were doing, I don't know. But they weren't working, unless it's all that working. And that's what the inspector did, you know. She'd go walk around with her mirror and her tight pants, tight tops. They had a couple of them that were really good inspectors, but I think most all of them though were the inspectors. Now they're all younger ones. I don't recall ever seeing anybody. That's one reason I had such a time getting my job as inspector. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That took 2-3 months, I bet, before I got that.
So most of the women that you worked with were closer to your age?
Yes, and most of them were, not always now, there was quite a few that were younger. There's Mildred, she was quite a little bit younger. And that other girl, that showed you a picture, that was in the van.
Mm-hmm.
You can say her name. Madge Lynn. Now her husband worked out there too, but she and I, we worked together for years, always. We were putting her always together. And she's just a little bit, not much younger than I am. She and her husband, they had two girls. They were entertainers. And that's what she does yet. She's almost 80 years old. And I've got one letter where she entertained the prisoners of Canyon City, Colorado, 2 years ago. I forget how many states she was in, but and the governors, you know, and she goes give readings, dance.
What was it like working with younger women?
I never give her a thought. I get along with all of them. I mean, age didn't mean anything as far as I was concerned. They could do this. We all did more or less about the same thing. I never gave a thought about age.
Besides not getting an inspector's job right away, did you feel any negative things directed towards you or other women that were your age because you were older?
No. No, I never had the only trouble I had was when I couldn't use my arm and they'd give me the wrong things to try to get me to do something I couldn't, you know. No, other than that, I never, I just get along with people, you know, so it never made any difference as far as I was concerned. And I just as soon worked with a man as to work with a woman. In fact, we had we would change around sometimes work with a man, you know. So. But the men they did heavier work. This was not more or less light work that we're doing. See.
you had moved into the state from Kansas to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, were there other people around you, other people that you knew who also had come from other parts of the country?
Oh, yeah. There was lots of them that came from, I don't know where they came from. This one girl came from the south someplace. I don't remember where. Now, of course, there was quite a few people who lived out here in Kansas, but it was funny that this one said, "You must be from the Midwest." And I said, what made you say that? Because you have an accent. I didn't know people from the Midwest had an accent, but evidently it did.
How did you all get along from being from different parts of the country?
You just don't question it. I mean, I didn't. It didn't make any difference as far as I was concerned, where they were from. As far as, I'm concerned, I don't care what religion anybody is. It doesn't make me any difference. I never question it.
You said that the noise was very loud. I'm wondering what else it was like inside.
What
it was like as far as heating and ventilation.
It was very comfortable. I don't know. I can't ever remember having to put a sweater on, you know. Because when we go in, we take our coat off and hang it up, and we just had our blouses on. Of course, we were on cement floor, but our work was up on a wood platform, so you're not on the cement at all times. But it was comfortable in there in the summertime. I don't remember, because I was 2 summers there. First, the climate out here is not cold like it was when we first came out. I thought it freezed to death. I was cold all the time for months before I got, so I wasn't cold.
What did you think about the state when you
safety features? I don't think they had too many safety features that you disapprove of. Anything that they said was necessary, well, you better abide by it, because they've been in that business long enough that they know what's safe and what isn't, you know.
Were there a lot of
safety rules?
Safety rules, yeah.
Well, mainly that you didn't wear clothes that would catch into something, like your pants, or you had a loose blouse or something, you know. Or, of course, like I mentioned, the jewelry, you don't wear that. You wear flat heels. Shoes, you couldn't wear high heel shoes, and you had to have something on your head, because that aluminum dust got pretty heavy in there. In fact, probably the last 10, 12 years, might be longer than that, I had lung x-rays, and I had 2 spots on my lung. And they can't figure out what they are. Nature has covered them over. I'm sure I know what they are. They're aluminum dust.
Or asbestos.
No asbestos. We had no asbestos. Now, we did have, in one area where I inspected, they had this glass packing that they packed around the motors and stuff. I don't know if they still use that or not. But that was very dangerous.
Like fiberglass?
Uh-huh. That was very dangerous stuff. And a lot of the girls, 2 different girls that I did the inspection was this one, she was forever catching cold, sneezing, nose running. I told her she really ought to wear a mask. So she started wearing a mask, and you know, it helped her tremendously. Because that glass, fiber when you're working with it, you know. They're packing stuff with it, you know, to keep it. And that was the only dangerous thing that I in the work that you did outside of the, when you drill, and all over the building they're drilling aluminum, you know. And that fine dust, you look through the light and you see it, you know. And I'm sure that's what it is in my lungs. Because I wasn't around the fibers like that much. I never worked with it, I only inspected it. little jobs that they would do to be sure they're positioned.
Did they ever provide, like,
No.
Instructions around the machine?
No. No, there was nothing for you to trip on. There was nothing around like that at all. You just had a wood platform rather than to stand on the cement. Now, some people had to be on the cement. And the ones that had to, boy, I tell you, they complained, their feet hurting, you know. But we...